Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. In his wonderful name, we rejoice this morning. We rejoice in your plan, Lord, your plan of love. Lord, that love that would never let us go, that love, hallelujah, that found us. Thank you, God, that you do never, never, never. Is there anything that could ever separate us from your love? Lord, I truly am delirious this morning with your care for us. Oh, and I cast it upon you because you care for me. And Lord, help us to truly walk in the liberty of Christ. Whom you have made free is free indeed. Oh, Lord, thank you that we go on forgetting those things which are behind and pressing, Lord God, reaching forth all by the power of your grace for more grace. Yes, Lord, grace for grace. Oh, the mercy, hallelujah, the praise, God, that would come forth today, vessels to the praise and the glory of your grace. Lord, hallelujah. For you are full of grace and truth. And Lord, how beautiful is our God. Thank you, King of Kings. Thank you, Lord of Lords. Thank you, I am. Thank you, our very mighty God. That is He. Hallelujah. And by the grace of God, our soon coming bridegroom, we give you all the praise for that mighty love in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise be to God. Let's get back into Isaiah this morning and heading right back to chapter 43. Chapter 43 and verse 25. Things, praise God, I just can't get off my mind. Hallelujah. We were here not too long ago. It says right there in Isaiah 43:25, I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. I truly can't get it off my heart. Praise God, that incredible truth and statement. The love wherewith we are loved. The plan of God wherewith we are loved. That He forgave our sins for His sake. I just let that soak in for just a moment. He forgave your sins for His sake. Now that's a God of love. A God of love. That His plan is for Him. His love, praise God, is to us. But it was for Him. Isn't that awesome? Do you realize, just to think about for a moment, what you are to Him? What you are for Him? The love, that transforming power of His grace and mercy. The value that we are to God. Now, He forgave my sins for His sake. He wanted me that bad. Amen? And the only way He was going to have me, and the only way that I was going to have Him, He had to die for me. Praise God. And He did it, hallelujah, for His sake. All because, brothers and sisters, God wanted a relationship. And God wanted a relationship specifically that God wanted sons. Sons born of God. Yes, children. And how precious children. But children that would grow up. Children that would grow up, and children that would mature to become mature sons, mature that they would understand the ways of God. The ways of God. And truly understand the very intimacy, the love, the passion, the ecstasy, truly, that is in the heart of your God for you. Now, this is some amazing stuff. Right on over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Well, he says it just a few different times there. This is for me. This is God. This is his plan for you. And it's for him. That's amazing. Amen. That mercy came down. That grace came down. And it always comes down. And praise God, we're the recipients of it if we'll take it. Because it's all there. And grace for grace and more grace. And all sufficient grace. And matter of fact, all grace from him. Not limited at all. Not held back a bit. But he gave it all. Because he wants you to be full of the knowledge of his love for you. This is God we're talking about. And he said that you would know the love of Christ. Of Christ. That you would understand, yes, heirs of God is children of God. But to know the love of Christ. That love that he said in ages past to his son. Oh son, it's not good for man to live alone. Yes, there was a story that would come forth. A story of the beginning of man. And Adam would have a wife. But this was far more reaching. That Jesus would have a wife. And that you would know the love of Christ. See, we know the love of God when we're saved. Amen. Yeah, you do. You understand that love. That love, praise God, that gave his son. The love of God that gave his son to go to the cross. Willing to be, hallelujah, the Lamb, the only begotten Son of God. There to be made sin for us who knew no sin. And God loved the world so much beyond comprehension that he gave the one thing, the only thing to him, his son. That love, that power, and that love, praise God, you receive and become born of God and receive that blood upon your life. Yes, Father, you love me so much, you gave me Jesus. But now the plan of God, that you would know the love of Christ. This intimacy of the heart of the young Roe lover that would come, hallelujah, and would minister and be made one of us because it had to be. You understand that bride can only marry a lamb. That's the lover of your soul. Marry the lamb. And he came and he ministered. And it said that they held him and they touched him. And they kissed him and John laid his head upon his breast. And they beheld him. But yet he said, oh, there's so many things that even beyond your touch, beyond the things that you could receive of me that I'm here, that I must send to you the Holy Ghost to minister, to cause you to understand and to know the love of Christ. Amen. To enter into that intimacy with my son. That long time ago I said to him, it's not good for you, son, to live alone. Praise God. Now, we get to this scripture we just read of the adoption, that he predestinated us to the adoption, look at that, of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now, that word adoption, thank you, Lord, from that same Greek word you've heard, I pray you've paid a little bit of attention. But that word in the Greek is huios. It means mature sons. Think of that. I mentioned it earlier in Romans 8:14. It says that the sons are led by the Spirit. And that word huios means mature sons. See, mature sons, by the grace of God, they're led of the Spirit. That's what Rebecca pointed out to us when she began to hear the message that we receive today of the bridal truth. That the Master has a son and he's going to have a wife. But the only one that's going to take you to that wife is the Master's servant, who in type is the Holy Ghost. And that's the only way that she will ever get to that place of lighting off the camel and watching her bridegroom run through the field to receive her, praise be to God, is by being led of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that was the maturity of sweet Rebecca. When she heard that proposal, she said, I do. She said, by the grace of God, I will go. At that time, she took the treasures of what the wife would even receive, the bracelets, the earrings, that she was betrothed to him. And she went. She put away the childish things. The love wherewith she was loved was so great that she had to leave a home that was wonderful, a home where she was loved, a family that supported her. But there was a love that was drawing her out, that was far greater and far deeper and far more sweet to her. That there was nothing to delay. She had to go. Praise God. The mature sons of God are led by the Spirit. Now, how wonderful that our Father not only wanted the birth of many sons, but he had one thing in mind for you. And every child of God was to grow up fully to a mature son of God. We were not born to be servants, but we are born heirs of God. Heirs of God. Praise the Lord. Children, but even joint heirs with His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, if we will grow up. Do you see that? Even in that precious little story. See, if Rebecca chose to stay at the home, she never would have wed. And she would only have been a child in the home of her parents. And she could have stayed there and maybe been happy and satisfied as a child just in the home. But she received a message that began to mature her heart. And she says, I want to grow up. I want it all. I want him. Because his plan of even forgiving my sin, he did it for his sake. Praise God. Now growing up is transforming. It's transforming from glory to glory into his very image. That's 2 Corinthians 3:18. Can you imagine that? Glory for him. That's how you transform. You transform from glory to glory for him. Did he not forgive your sins for his sake? It's for him. This is glory for him. Well, why not would it be true then? Because he told us the glory of man is the woman. His wife is his glory. His wife will be the one that will receive the message that is given of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Isn't that, again, remarkable of the order of events in the Word of God? Here Jesus said, I must go, but I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of truth. Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Ghost, also known as the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of the whole counsel of God for us to receive. The Spirit of, yea, the deep things of God, the proposal message to you. That's why nobody understood that until that encouragement, that power of the Holy Ghost, the infilling of the Holy Ghost to be led into all truth. That's why the Apostle Paul and that message did not come forth till after Pentecost. That's why the order of the Lord is so perfect, because without the infilling of the Holy Ghost, there would never be a way to receive the knowledge of the love of Christ. Amen. It's perfect. There is no flaw. Its order is exact. Now think of how exact His order is in your life. Isn't it wonderful? God's never late for you. He's always on time. Everything about your life, every downsetting, every uprising, every hurt, every discouragement. Oh, in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Oh, I've seen people, and it's been so marvelous. I was telling Brother Dwayne on the river, I said, oh, brother, I've seen people that have lived the most horrible life, complete sin, dead in it. But yet they've come to the knowledge of the Lord, and they've come, praise God, to a love of the truth and a desire to know the love of Christ. And how God opened up that whole entire blotch that was even in that time before they took the Lord, even as Savior. They could see the mighty perfection, the hand of God through all of it. Yea, and all things work together for good to them that love God. I'll tell you what, I love God's testimony in you. It's marvelous. And yes, it had to be. Everything about your life. Truly, as we've heard, the stall-fed calves. Oh, and I'm telling you, sheep. Oh, I love you. Oh, praise God, His wonderful sheep. You just sit there, and I see you today. And it's just because of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, I've got to have more of this. I've got to have more of Him. And it's marvelous. Old Brother Dwayne was telling me about them goats. You know, goats are awful smart. I mean, they're crazy smart. I didn't realize that. I like to watch the pictures of goat yoga, and never mind. But they jump on you and stuff, and they're really cute. But goats, they can figure everything out. Matter of fact, they'll eat everything too. But they can figure out how to get out of places, and they don't get entangled in fences. They'll jump up and look at fences, and they're just really a smart creature. Dwayne will tell you all about them. I mean, they're very self-sufficient. But then you got their sheep. They got the head down, wandering everywhere. They come to a fence, they just get hung up in it. But something about God, He just loves a sheep, doesn't He? Don't be trying to be a goat. He's going to separate them out anyway someday. But oh, brothers and sisters, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. See, we grow up and we transform into the glory for Him. Isn't that marvelous? We transform into double portion glory for Him. Been rejoicing in that for some time, about that double portion. Is it any wonder when the bride, the Lamb's wife, descends from heaven, she's got a name, New Jerusalem. Jerusalem means double peace. It's a double blessing. It's double grace. It's a double portion. As the king in the Song of Solomon, as he receives the Shulamite, his wife, his treasure, he calls her the double portion. My sister, my spouse. See, that's what the message of the love of Christ, the Paul's gospel, will do to your life. It transforms you into that love. It transforms you into that glory for Him. Amen? See, that's glorified together with Him. It's glory for Him. Hallelujah! And where this all taken us today, well, I'll tell you, it's already taken me a lot of places. But He not only wants to touch us, and boy, doesn't the Lord touch you. He's touching you right now with His word. Amen. But you know what? He wants you to touch Him. He wants you to touch Him. You think about how it says in Hebrews 4:15, He is touched with our infirmities. And yes, He is. And oh, how He comforts our infirmities. Amen. Praise God. And you know what He does for them? They were singing about it. It's those infirmities, praise God, that enlighten the path. Hallelujah. That we progress on down, because when I'm weak, then He's strong. When that infirmity is on my life and I glory in the infirmity, oh my goodness, the power of Christ is resting upon me. And I'll tell you, that power of Christ, when it's resting upon you, it bothers everybody that doesn't want to have anything to do with the power of Christ. Amen? But then you think about the precious woman with the issue of blood. She pressed through that crowd. And you think about all the people that were bumping into Jesus and all that. But Jesus cried out, "Who touched me?" See, He wants to be touched. Because something came out of Him. It was called virtue. And oh my, what a touch of virtue. You talk about how He can heal us. I love how David said it in Psalm 45:1. "My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." By the grace of God, David drew nigh to God, didn't he? And I'll tell you, that really bothered a lot of people. That bothered his wife. Drew nigh to the Lord, and such ecstasy, he had to just kind of get naked and dance before God. "Oh, that's not how you should act, David. Oh, it's the only way I can be. I'm just being because the love of God's working in me." See, a lot of folks won't understand that, will they? And those that want to be critical, they'll be unfruitful. God will shut that womb up. That's why, by the grace of God, don't be a critical one. You'll be stone cold. I've known a lot of people that know truth up here that are stone cold. Don't you be one of them. Love one another. Love one another. And love one another more. Praise God. But see, Jesus, He longs for even more. He desires the embrace of His beloved. Yes, it's not good for man to live alone. And Brother Paul told of this embrace. He told of this embrace back over here in Philippians chapter 3. Verse 12, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." We've talked about that many times, that word apprehend. I love it. It is, it's an embrace of knowledge, love knowledge. Oh, you talk about a love knowledge. This is the Shulamite love, that one that won him. And I love how the Song of Solomon in chapter 7 says that. See, at the very beginning of the Song of Solomon, if you remember back, she says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." The word of God pouring forth. "Lord, I want your intimacy. I want to know your love. I'm going to surrender." I'll tell you what, when you get kissed, and I mean really kissed, you surrender to that kiss. Amen? And it's beautiful. Beautiful. And oh, what a surrendering goes on. And in that kiss, praise God, that same Shulamite kept letting him kiss her. And finally, she won his heart. And then the king in chapter 7 literally says, in ecstasy, delirious with her kisses, he cries out, "The roof of your mouth is like the best wine." Oh my goodness, come on, come on. That's what he longs for from us. Don't you want to love him with perfect love? Amen. I mean, how? And I believe you do, because you know how he loves you. You know how the passion of God, the care of God, the love of God, the faithfulness to hold you in the truth, that as squirrely as we wanted to be, with every wind of doctrine, that somehow, some way, God settled you down and said, "I don't need all that fanfare. I want Him. I don't want distraction. I don't need happy feeling for a moment. I want eternal joy with Him. Oh, yes, come on. See, throughout Paul's writings, you're going to find the word knowledge or to know. Appreciate my sweet uncle back there. He had been rejoicing in the knowledge of the Lord for some time. And I'm beginning to get it. But some 40 plus times in Paul's writings, he uses that word knowledge to know. Right in that passage of what we're reading here, that I may know Him. Know Him. And you know, in that wonderful word knowledge that Paul uses over and over and over, it's a very specific word. It's a very precious word. It's got the deepest meaning of knowledge. It means the knowledge between a husband and a wife. Now, Paul could have used a lot of different other words to talk about cerebral knowledge or technical knowledge. But see, Paul wrote the gospel of the lover of your soul. And in that, there's only one knowledge that can be used. And that's the knowledge between a husband and a wife. You got to wake up to this stuff. This isn't just accidental. This is purpose. This is the only purpose. This is the knowledge, praise God, that gives you the heart knowledge, the divine knowledge, the knowledge between a husband and a wife, the intimacy knowledge. This is where God calls forth and says, I'm seeking out the true worshiper that worships Him, my Son, in spirit and in truth. Isn't that marvelous? See, once again, it's led of the Spirit. Those are the mature sons of God. And what's going to always minister in the Spirit? Truth. Truth. But see, the Holy Ghost makes that truth, which it is, the love. It'll bubble in your heart. It'll cause you to believe, Lord, this is mine. You wrote that for me. I know it says us, but those prophets, they wrote it for me. And He ministers to you and you and you. He ministers these things to you, and He tells you time and time again, I love you. I want you. I'm coming for you. And I'm not going to cease. And by the grace of God, when you really surrender and let Him kiss you, the transformation that happens, brothers and sisters, He longs for this with you. And I love how the Shulamite, she so believes in that transforming grace that her breasts will be a cluster of grapes for Him. Do you know how much grace that takes for your life to understand that, again, His wonderful grace wants nothing else than to transform you to that for Him? From the tents of Kedar to the curtains of Solomon. His marvelous grace to continue to look at Christ in me, the hope of glory. To quit dwelling in this thing. The lie that can so easily beset us. Those are lies. The grace of God is your truth. The mercy of the Lord, praise God, is the abiding power that showers your life. Amen. Amen. Yeah, doesn't that make you want to love Him more? See, this is, praise God, the word that awakens our heart to our lover. And awakens your heart today by the grace of God. The need of Him. The need of Him. The lover of your soul. To love Him wherewith the love wherewith we are loved. I was thinking so sweetly Lord, I love to hold you. I know he holds me, but I love to hold him. And I'm holding him now. Having his heart trust in me, because I rest in the promise of his bridal truth. That I have confidence in nothing but his grace to perform and to continue to perform. That all my longing is to see him. And I'm falling in love over and over and over and over. And deeper with his appearing. All the cares of this life, thank you, Jesus, are beginning to fade away. And that includes even the cares of me. Thank you, Jesus. They're falling away. And how wonderful as I looked up in that canyon. And I said, oh, Lord, maybe even just one tether that is left upon my life. Till finally it's broken. And I fly away to him. Praise God. Praise God, the lover of your soul. Let's pray. Father, thank you. We praise your Son. We thank you beyond expression that only the Holy Ghost truly could give us utterance to adequately praise you with the mysteries that you have revealed to us. Thank you for the heart of the beloved Son, the King, the Lord, the mercy of the Lamb's wife. We praise you and glory in Jesus, our love, our life. The I Am. Thank you, Lord, for your great love to us. May we move this morning. May hearts move this morning. God, help us to groan this morning for your Son. May we bend that knee so sweetly. And Lord, to just embrace you as you have embraced us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.